With a longtime friend of the show from the 9th Legislative District, Senator Mark Schessler. Good afternoon to you, sir. Thank you for your time.
Great to be back with you.
So, Senator Schessler, we chatted a little bit before we went on the air. A particular fire burning on your end of things right now is the horrific transportation bill that we touched on a little bit yesterday with Senator Dozier, but I know that you have a lot more to add to our conversation from yesterday just about how truly awful this piece of legislation is.
Well, it really is. And because the media doesn't cover the legislature like it once did, they don't get into what we call the back of the budget. In the back of the budget, you find things such as a utility tax that can be implemented council-matic, 2%. You find another tenth of a cent sales tax can be implemented council-matically. You find the ability to expand the 20-mile-an-hour zones around schools with radar to a full mile, but it also includes parks and hospitals. There are communities that would effectively be all 20 miles per hour during school time. But it gets worse. Then you find you could not buy a gas or diesel-powered vehicle in this state after 2030. But then it gets even worse. Last year we talked about the low carbon fuel standards or tax and trade. High cost fuel standards, the gas tax without roads, is in litigation because of a veto by Governor Inslee. This stops that by changing the law inside this, that the litigation against the high cost fuel standards goes away. These are the things that don't make the front page of the few media outlets that actually cover Olympia. None of these ideas could make it stand alone with your listeners.
We're talking to Senator Mark Schessler from the 9th Legislative District here on The Bottom Line, News Radio 610 KONA.
Senator Schessler, Greg Neft here. Let's talk a little bit about the pocketbook impact of this transportation bill. If it passes and Governor Inslee does sign off on it, which it appears he will, when do you expect the impacts to start hitting, and how bad will they be?
Well, there are $2.7 billion over 16 years in taxes on your license plate, driver's license, and your temporary vehicle permit from dealers. But there's also a 6-cent export fuel tax. And only a real naive person could believe that the refineries in some markets won't lower the price on export and raise it internally. Also, the possibility of the border counties or border states retaliating. So you could have a 6-cent gas tax without any roads. So the first ones will start in about 90 days, 30 days, and it will get worse as time goes on, because you got to remember the tax and trade proposal hasn't even gone to effect yet. And that's what pays for a lot of it.
Well, Senator Schessler, I know for common sense people, those who try to use logic, what rolls around in their head is why. Why continue to do things like this? Why continue to add to already escalating gas prices? I mean, I dropped $3.67 yesterday per gallon, and it's only going to go higher. Why continue to raise taxes at this point in time? Is there truly a desire to just gouge people, not realizing they're going to force not just businesses but residents to leave the state?
Well, this is an unprecedented spending binge in Olympia. We just learned yesterday that we're going to get $2.7 billion over this biennium, remainder of this biennium, and the next. There is absolutely no reason why we couldn't switch to the sales tax on vehicles sold to fund transportation, dial a number, percentage alike, and not take anything away from the hardworking taxpayer.
We're talking with Senator Mark Schessler here on the Bottom Line News Radio 610 KODA from the 9th Legislative District.
And Senator Schessler, let's talk a little bit. You mentioned this before, I guess, dealer permits. If you buy a new car, you're going to have to pay more for your tags. How is that going to work? And I'll just say it. I paid about, what did I pay? About $165 for my tab, my license plate tab, bringing it in from out of state on a 2019 car. How much is that going to jump under the new system?
The fees tend to jump about a third, so you could see $50 on a fee like that or your enhanced driver's license very easily.
That's rough.
But when you pay this, you know, here's where it really gets obscene. 52-54% of a $16 billion plan goes to transit functions, but yet the percentage of Washington residents that use transit is a very small percentage. So you're getting a shift from the taxpayers to the tax writers.
Just out of curiosity, Senator Schessler, is there any benefit to Eastern Washington in any of this package, in any piece of this package?
The only area that benefits is the majority leader's district in Spokane that gets $50 million for bus rapid transit to run one route through downtown Spokane and up Division. That's $50 million into one district, and they get to keep their marquee project on schedule. The rest of the 5th Congressional District gets just about goose-egged. The 4th Congressional District, just about a goose egg. When we've done transportation in the past, even a bad package, like the one Senator Haugen did in 2006 or 7, whenever that was, there was some work done on Highway 12, for example. We were never completely shut out. When we did Connecting Washington, you saw the money for the Lewis Street overpass in Pasco. You saw the safety improvements headed up 395. You see lanes coming on Highway 26 to Pullman. You saw projects that were good for the region, and they generated a two-thirds majority. This was a pure party-line vote, which tells you the public policy is skewed.
Senator Schessler, let me ask you this. In terms of, you mentioned bus rapid transit for Spokane. I think of another project in Spokane that isn't even done yet, the Highway 395, the freeway that should connect some part of the north part of the city to Interstate 90 there. Still not done, and we don't know when it's going to be done, actually. Is it going to make it harder? Is this transportation package going to make it harder to build new needed roads and freeways in Washington State? Or are we seeing an end to that with this?
Well, the people that are running the show don't believe in roads. There is not a new road project in eastern Washington. If you look, there's a bridge on the Columbia River. There's a project near Tacoma, Highway 18 and the Highway 2 I-5 trestle. So you have a segment of I-5 that gets some nice improvements, and the rest of the state gets a goose egg. Even if people are dying on Highway 17 or Highway 2, too bad, we're going to give kids free rides on ferries and transit.
Hope they enjoy it.
Yeah.
Well, you know, can you imagine, hey, honey, let's load up the kids and go look at the new electric hybrid ferry this weekend. That's hardly the equivalent of finally having a safe drive to Walla Walla.
We're talking with Senator Mark Schessler here on the Bottom Line. So, Senator Schessler, to shift gears just a touch, what did you make of the governor's press conference a little bit earlier this afternoon?
Well, from what I know, I think it's going to coincide with an announcement from the Biden administration. I think they do a lot of messaging together and give themselves a lot of wiggle room. I think the date the governor chose is within a week or two of the State of the Union address. And I suspect there's a lot of messaging going on, and it'll coincide with some type of a Biden administration announcement.
Do you think...
In the meantime, let's look at what's happened in Washington. Our test scores have gone down in virtually every school in math and English. I've seen the front page stories of what has happened there. I see districts fed up to where they're having issues in Richland, Kettle Falls, and other places over masking. They've reached a boiling point. I don't know if they're going to let some steam off soon enough or not.
Do you think that there is a chance that this will roll back? Do you think that this is a chance that the governor is giving this amount of time to see if it gives him wiggle room to continue the current mandates? Because in all reality, sir, when these mandates go away, what reason does he have to keep his emergency powers any longer?
Well, would Superman give up his powers? I mean, I think Jay Inslee will always leave wiggle room to go forward. And as long as somebody can say COVID, I think he'll keep the emergency powers. He enjoys it much, much too well. If you look at the proposal that passed the Senate, one caucus leader could allow a governor to have power for an unlimited amount of time. It sounded good to a lot of people, but when you looked at it closely, it was pretty weak.
Well, it was beyond weak. It does absolutely nothing. But how, and I guess this is the larger concern, if there is no state of emergency, how can he continue to maintain the emergency powers? I mean, at what point in time? We know the majority party is feckless, and that's about the nicest way I can put it. They're not going to do anything, but at some point in time, there has to be some avenue when there's no longer a state of emergency. We are no longer in a situation that requires the type of governing we've seen for the last 720 days, that those emergency powers have got to go away if there's no state of emergency. And he's the only one that gets to declare the state of emergency, correct?
That's true. And I think that's why, thank God, November is coming up, because there has to be checks and balances in our system. And the current majority isn't doing that. We have to have checks and balances. That's why we have three branches of government.
We're talking with Senator Mark Schessler from the 9th Legislative District here on The Bottom Line, News Radio 610 KONA.
Can this be reversed with a different administration, Senator? Can a different governor and a different legislative makeup reverse this, or is this pretty much get the ball rolling and it's a snowball effect?
No, absolutely. You know, you can change directions of how you do business. Early in my career, we had a welfare mess. And a change in majorities convinced Governor Locke that it should happen. And when I talked to longtime friends across the aisle, I said, what if Lauren Culp would have won? What if Dino Rossi would have won? And for the real old-timers, what would you have thought if Ellen Creswell had these powers? 1 4-year term with a governor from the other side of the political spectrum, and the need for checks and balances would come back to the current majority. You remember the legislature does have the power of referendum, and that was said there that you could go around a governor to the people. I think it's a clause in government that we probably don't use often enough. Just the threat of a referendum on welfare and other subjects convinced Governor Locke, maybe I better sign this.
Senator Mark Schessler from the 9th Legislative District. What is on the agenda for next week, sir?
Next week is going to be budget week. This afternoon we'll have a public rollout on the capital budget. The capital budget will be far different in makeup. Senator Honeyford from Sunnyside and myself have had a seat at the table, and it's been a a pretty good process. The operating budget will, for both bodies, will come out Monday. Now, the Senate has taken the path. They're going to put it out Sunday afternoon, let the public look at it for 24 hours, and then have a hearing. The House, which is a strange creature, is going to give the public about 3 hours to figure out what is in the budget and then have the hearing that's known as the Trail of Tears. Imagine 3 hours to find out what's in the budget that's of interest to your interest group or yourself personally. Tremendous challenge to find it in 3 hours. And that's what they plan to do. I think, you know, the rollout on Sunday online, Monday is not too bad, but this is going to be 3 hours in the House. We'll see next week on Monday whether the two budgets are similar or not, and what they've done with $2.7 billion in additional revenue. Last week, or this past week, before the forecast, the majority was adamant there was no way you could do tax relief. You know, it would seem there ought to be a billion or two laying around now for some type of tax relief. I look at my colleagues I work with across the border in Idaho. The number one debate for the last couple of years in Idaho is not whether we should cut taxes, but which tax to cut. And the world didn't end. I think with the $15 billion more available than we currently budget for, tax relief of some kind, whether it's property tax, sales tax, or some real job creators like manufacturing tax rate reductions, we could certainly make a difference in our state and our state's economy.
Senator Mark Chesler from the 9th Legislative District, always appreciate your time, sir. Thank you very much for joining us, and look forward to talking to you again very soon.
Great to be back with you and your listeners.